Hello and welcome to the Billowing Hilltop Podcast. Apologies for last week's bad-tempered episode, readers. We disgraced ourselves. This week, well, you know, a lot less bad-tempered. Keep your messages and your emails coming. We always like ratings and reviews. And I realise that I've forgotten to do this for I don't know how long. I mean, like 3 years. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app of choice. I don't know what subscribing actually does, apart from downloading loads of episodes on your phone that you may never listen to. But hey, you know, it's the sort of thing that podcast hosts are meant to ask for. I think that's it. Yeah, I've got no other news or information. So let us push on with episode 185 of the Billowing Hilltop Podcast, Chase the Devil. Good evening, everybody.
Evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Hello.
How is everyone?
All right.
Good,
thank
everyone?
You. Yeah.
Fine.
No bad, thank you.
Don't have any emails. Nothing in Paul's capacious sack. I'm here with the usual crowd, everybody. Dan.
Hello.
Wonderful leonine Dan visiting from back of the wardrobe. And we've got Johnny and we've got the flashing widgets of Paul. We've got Master of Spider Science, Lucas, who may be called away. Are we right, Lucas? Maybe called away to your spider conference. 8 days of discussions.
He's shedding his skin
in New York, I believe. And we have Hot Viking Graham and we're good to go. Where we left things, let's do our Steve cap. You've been fighting Darl Quethos and his hoods, his gang. He was trying to get the golden belt of Grathanos off you. You spotted last week that one of his goons, he's not really a goon, he's an Ifrit, giant, red-skinned, mythical beast of fire, but we'll call it a goon, has got what you think is the living feather of the Rock King on him, which means that between you, you have all of the different components of the four tasks of Tilanthros or Tilagos or whatever. I keep forgetting what they're called. It doesn't matter. Where we left things, there was all sorts of running around, lots of spell effects. But in the end, Uncle Buggy got a critical, blinded Darl Quethos, pummeled him down to the point where you started to question my honesty around how many hit points it got. Well, not you.
No, me. I did.
And he vanished. You could take a moment to try and work out why he vanished.
Yeah.
The people who can see him or can hear him. So let's start with Sessions. You can see him vanish. Would you like to make an Arcana check?
I would like to try, but I was normally asleep during Arcana lessons.
At the back, Arcana lessons. Yeah.
I get
doodling.
A 12.
A 12 is insufficient. Parker. Okay. Your one level of druid pays off. Again, Parker. It's on your spell list. I'll let you make an Arcana check. It's going to be tough. It's a spell that's not really within your wheelhouse. It's not even in your wheel town.
I get a 12.
12 is not enough, I'm afraid. Anybody else want to make a case that they can make an Arcana check?
Well, if I can hear him make a sound, use the verbal component, maybe I could...
Buggy should as well. Let's be honest.
Tight. Let me just see if it's on your spell list.
Oh, isn't the Hunger of Hadar in the way with all the swearing noises?
It is not on your spell list, Burple, I'm afraid.
Okay. What about
so
Paladin?
I don't think it's not on your spell list, Scaly. It is on Buggy's spell list.
Okay, I think I can just about see him.
We'll see him here. I'm going to say disadvantage. Make an Arcana at disadvantage.
No.
Okay, well, that's okay.
No, rubbish.
Not sure what happened.
It must be on my spell list.
It is on your spell list, Sessions, yes. But 12 was not sufficient.
Okay, so he's done something spelly and he buggered off. All right.
There we go. It's like Tolkien's in the room with us. Yeah,
no,
don't know.
I've got Aetherialness on my spell list, so.
Oh, yes, you can do it. Oh,
this is
the
not on my spell
The logic puzzle begins. Yeah. Hold on, let's all get our spell lists together and start crossing off against each other. On 16, standing there, suddenly alone, it's Hacker.
Well, I will march round to the trident and bash the trident.
Okay, yeah.
Ooh, 20, is it critical?
20.
Well, it is critical, but do you get to draw a card is the question. Hitting armor class.
Armor class 22.
Oh, that's a hit. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
It's a hit.
Initially, he takes 11.
Oh, God, this is going to be worse than usual, isn't it? Okay. It's already buckled in.
9 points of damage.
I bought a sandwich. Did anybody else?
9 points of damage.
3 points of damage.
Okay. 9 points of damage. Yeah. Yeah.
And sleeping bag.
Give me a critical card.
It's just going to encourage you.
Head popped over a wide area. That's what we need.
Oh, that would speed things up, wouldn't it?
The old Arden Grimoire.
That's the old school one, yeah, properly, yeah. Those are the days.
Yeah, those are the days.
Turn over your card, Lucas. What does it say?
Triple damage. Target must make a DC 14 strength or dexterity
strength
saving throw. On a failed save, target drops what they are holding.
You're joking.
Which hand or determines randomly.
That's easy. It's the trident. I'm picking strength. Right, here we go. DC 14. It's going to make it. It's going to make it. It makes it with a solid, beautiful, shiny twink.
And then the triple damage is another 11.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling...
Here we go. Yeah. 1d4.
Lucky I can choose to make him do another 2d6.
Yeah.
Yes, from the staff. So that's another 6 points. And a stunning strike. So that's a DC 15 constitution save.
Rolling an 18, he makes it.
Okay, right. That's all the first attack.
Okay.
Second attack.
Fine. Yeah.
Hits armor class 28.
It is not the end. It isn't even the beginning
not
of
critical.
The end. It is very much the end of the beginning.
9 points of damage.
Yeah.
A DC 15 constitution saving throw.
It looks at its watch at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, it's not just me.
Does that exhale like it's been waiting for a bus. That kind of...
We go at the speed of everybody. DC 15... Constitution.
Oh,
team.
God. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, makes it
60. Okay. Lol. And then finally, the unarmed strikes.
Strikes.
The first one, hurting armor class 11. I assume
it's a miss.
It's a miss. And then. Finally. Oh, another 20.
Oh. Roll another dice.
Is it critical?
Do you want to draw another card? Or do you want to draw a dice? Draw another card. No.
Unlucky.
Hurrah. Unlucky. So you do double damage.
Yes.
The sun sets over the horizon.
It's another D8.
First part of subsection 2.
So he takes
of the damage.
8 didn't have
points
a beard
of
at
damage.
The beginning of his turn. Now it's got a long beard down to its knee.
And also savage attack, so it's actually 2D8.
Oh, there's more.
Another 10.
Another 10. Okay.
And he's dropped his trident.
No, he hasn't. He made his save. That was a strength save.
Oh, sorry,
yeah.
You're right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
20 rolls ago.
That's it.
He dropped it because at his age now, he's lost his grip strength.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's it. Done.
Fast, efficient.
On 13, it's Burpledy.
Come on, Burple, do something.
On the crow...
A raven.
Sorry. Can we have a dexterity save? DC 17. As I cast a fireball upon his face.
Oh, God. I've got to look it up. Save. It's got a lousy dexterity
35 point of damage. Saved.
Hold up. He makes that save.
Still 17.
Yeah,
everyone say, why does everyone save against my spells all the time?
Because
it's not fair.
Rubbishy
so
bard spells.
Blue dice of saves. Should have picked a sorcerer.
And
I know to do his spells properly.
Any concentration spells?
Has he got any concentration spells?
Conger of Hadar.
Because as you know...
Conger of Hadar.
To be honest.
Conger of Hadar. It makes that concentration save. And it is its turn. Well... It will not amaze you to learn that it starts heading south quite rapidly.
Yeah.
It just goes, and it moves 120 feet
Bugs
off
out.
The edge of the map, south.
Yeah.
Okay. As it does so, there's a moment where it almost looks like suddenly there's like two ravens, one that sort of materializes out from off to the east that may have been following a kind of parallel course but has hitherto been concealed from your sight.
Right.
And yes, I know you've got Sea Invisibility running. it sort of appears, and then there's a moment where you can't tell whether there's one or two, and then it looks like there's only one. A kind of mergement takes place.
Well, that's the projected image or something.
Don't know. On nine, it is Sessions, Ypres.
So is it actually off the bottom of the battle map?
Yeah. If your spell reaches, it reaches. It's about 180 feet south of you. So if you've got a spell that reaches that far, fill your boots.
180 feet south of me, I can't quite get to it. So
it's 180
I'm not
feet south, actually, of the ledge. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So what you going to do? What you going to do?
Call lightning on... Yeah, but I can still only do 170 feet. So I'll do call lightning on Trident.
It makes a dexterity save. It's not got great dex save. It rolls a 15, though. That might be enough. What's the DC? 18, I knew that.
18.
It's going to be enough. It's a blue dice of saves. He hasn't rolled under a 15 or 9.
Yep. So it takes half
exactly what it
40
needed.
Points.
Is it resistant to damage?
Lightning.
That's the question. Thank you, Sessions.
20 points of damage. Nice.
On 4, it's Uncle Buggy.
Oh, hang on. I can move. So I'm going to just move out of sight.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're tucking yourself back round, flush with the wall of the ledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's a Hunger of Hadar and a wall of fire. In fact, I might tuck myself 5 foot further in so that I can't be seen by Trident either.
I think the Hunger of Hadar is gone. I'm going to remove it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think when the Raven has headed that far south, I don't know, I'm not quite sure how this all works with spells within range, within whatever, but whatever. It's gone. It's Uncle Buggy on 4.
Should I do a true seeing spell? Dan, have you got true seeing?
No. See invisible. I suspect it's something like plane change.
Yeah, I can see onto the ethereal plane, but it doesn't help really because I can't do anything.
Yeah, but it'd be good to know where he is.
It's a sixth level spell. Okay, I'm going to stop raging. Bonus action.
Well, don't bother because I can see onto the ethereal plane and I'll move next round.
Oh, okay. All right.
Bash Trident.
Run on Bash Trident. How is he looking bloodied or anything like that?
Let me just have a look. Yes, he's looking bloodied. Yeah, he is.
Okay, well, I'll do a reckless attack. First one.
Last time I told you, somebody was bloodied, I got into trouble.
27, and it's advantage. Yeah. No, it's not a critical, so the damage is 18 points. Then the next attack, a 27, and let's see if it's a critical. Oh, rolled off the 20.
Oh, it did.
And it does another 19 points of damage.
Once you're past bloodied, it's difficult to do gradations, but it's not looking very well. It's its turn.
So it. Fast, efficient.
Very fast, very efficient. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
It was beautiful to see.
Free action to say, give me the bloody feather. If you piss off like the other guy.
It hasn't got the feather.
We're going to get really annoyed.
The feather is on the Ifrit.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's where
I thought you said Trident. Sorry, I thought you'd said Trident.
Nope. Feather is on the Ifrit. Trident.
Is the Ifrit flying? Sorry, is he?
See him. There's a wall of fire.
Is he above the wall of fire?
No, do you presume he's at ground level? Well, if he's still there, he could have gone. The mini is still there, but then I've just left it there for
posterity.
Perhaps just for. Well, I don't know. I mean, you can't. You wouldn't know. Is my point. I've got to make the. Oh, I forgot to move the dretches. Ass. What's he gonna do? It's gonna run for it. It's gonna run for it. All of you, Scaly, Buggy, Parker, each get an attack of opportunity as Trident beats its leathery wings. And leaps to the south off the edge of the total edge.
Armor class 28.
Scaly gets a 28 and hits.
Doing this plus 3D damage. 16 plus 13. 29.
25. There's a hit.
12 points of damage.
And what about Parker? Well, that's
a miss.
Nope,
okay.
That's a miss. And it moves 120 feet south and almost makes it to the edge of the map. Flapping away like it's very life dependent upon it, which it does. Is it round 4? It can't be. Must be round 5. Anyway, whatever it is, on 23, it is Scaly O'Toole.
How much damage am I going to take by getting through that wall of fire, do we think?
5d8.
Ooh, I'm not doing that then. I'm going to shout to Sessions. Can you give me a lift over the fire?
I can in a bit.
Excellent. That's what I'll wait for. Oh, I can see Mike's moved the free. They're bugged out.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
Take offence at that.
Fog of war.
Don't read too much into stuff like that. I'm just doing a bit of an ad. You can't see him, so.
Yeah.
On 16, it's Parker.
So the Trident's gone. The
Ifrit. Have we got something?
Well, the Ifrit was in the Ifrit was in the heat, so.
Ifrit in the heat?
with his daughter in the water.
Well, in the Steve.
What to do, what to do?
Take out the belt and wave it at them. Oi, come back! We should remember that the raven
spell the wall.
What?
Spell the wall of fire.
Bring on the wall!
Yeah, that'd be useful.
Oh, I suppose what we could do is go up and round over the wall. The wall of fire basically spans... Okay.
Yeah. So that's the second time we've done that, and it's the second time we've done it because Lucas goes da 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 da. It's a little vocal tick you've got, Lucas.
I know.
I know.
I mean, have you got any range things to shoot off?
Are we ignoring the dretches?
Yeah.
They're gently roasting.
Well, so yeah, that one's taken probably, what, four rounds?
Well, the top one I forgot to move, so I think the top one's probably gone. The other three randomly attack any old creature. They're not actually under control of anything. So they're just going to start running around being... But they're just rubbish. In the interest of keeping the story moving, let's not let them gum up the works too much. Friend guide storyteller. A situation where Feather is on a creature on the other side of the wall of fire. Don't know what else to say. Is it still there? Is it not there?
Well, it must be there to move the adventure forward. Is there somewhere?
I think they can teleport. But anyway, I'm just wondering, the guy that I did the critical on, if he bleeds, can you see the blood on the floor if he's gone invisible? He's dripping blood.
Well, that's a very good question. I don't know. Google it, man. Google it.
Right, so I can now move one, two, three, four, five, six.
That's a quarter fish alive.
10, 11,
go
12.
To hell. Go to heaven.
I can move up to the wall. You said it was 20 foot high.
Yeah.
Run out the
running
wall.
Running across over it. Very good stuff.
Over it.
Peter Crouch's hidden tiger.
That's one, two, three. That's another four squares. So that's the first. Yo, move. The
when
second.
You get to there, you can see the Ifrit, Lucas. You can see it.
Right.
It looks like it's slowly merging its way back into the Steve.
Sigh.
I think he would leave a trail of blood if he's really pouring a lot of blood and you would see a trail, but you wouldn't know where he was.
Yeah.
So it would tell us if he's invisible or not.
There's no trail of blood.
Okay. He's gone ethereal or something. Or teleported.
Yeah. Ethereal. Well, you know,
he hasn't teleported. So, Parker, you run over the wall of fire. There's that chasm running 20, 30 feet to the north of you, left to right, with Steve issuing from it. And backing its way, almost merging itself into the Steve, is the Ifrit. It looks a little surprised that somebody has run round its wall of fire.
So I can stay above the wall of fire and that's my move and then take an action. Or I can move further up towards it. I'm not really a very range action person.
Range action person?
Action surge?
No.
Isn't that the...
Let's not get into that.
No, I'm just thinking, I mean, it's the best thing to do to just sort of try and follow it.
Oh, you don't want to be following it into, really... into Steve, do you?
No.
But at least to keep an eye on where it's going, I think. Is
well, you can, I suppose you can, but you might start feeling the heat of Steve.
Where I've marked the Steve on the map, the clouds of Steve, Buggy felt that crossing that boundary, it would start to get quite uncomfortable, as in...
Hot.
Hurty. Yeah.
Okay, so I will move as close to that boundary as I can before I start feeling uncomfortable and far enough away from the Ifrit that it's not within attack range. 15 foot away from it.
On 13, it's Burple.
Burple is going to do a...
Poo?
Fourth level.
Poo.
Dispel magic on the wall of fire.
I was going to do that, but well done.
That's a goodie. The wall of fire is level...
Four.
Four. Do you need to make a roll or not?
No, I don't think so.
Well, it's gone then. Taking it on trust, you're going to laugh at me as I remove it.
No, you need to make a roll. Fourth level or higher, you need to make a roll. DC of 10 plus the spell level.
Really?
Yep.
Even if you cast using a higher level spell slot?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't read fourth level version. I thought it was the same.
Dispel magic. Choosing one creature, object, or magical effect within range of spell of third
level. Oh, no. For each fourth level, fourth it's level fourth level spells then. Yeah, no, you've got it.
Yeah, gone. It's gone. Okay.
Yeah. We shall move a bit to class R.
Okay. The dretches have dispersed. They're eating each other. Or, I don't know, dry humping the wall or something. You can see the Ifrit. Give me an insight check, Burple, as you regard the Ifrit.
insight is not my strong suit.
Well, but it's the most appropriate. Oh, it bounced off the 15.
Can I have an insight check?
8.
Yes, you can, Parker. Back here.
And I can't see anybody on the ethereal plane.
Nope. Maybe on the ethereal plane. And it's a 14. 7 for Parker.
14 insight.
14 is enough.
Plus
Parker.
7 insight.
It looks like now the wall of fire is gone. It's made its resolved to do something else. It has started enacting some kind of arcane thing, ritual, spell, something. On 9, it's sessions.
Okay.
Free action to say, give us the feather and we'll leave you in peace.
Oh, give me a persuasion check, Parker.
10.
Okay, I'm going to roll the dice now. You'll know it's not persuaded. The sessions.
I'm flying down to the corner where I can now see the Ifrit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call lightning on it and then I'm going to duck back to where I was.
Dexterity save, right?
Dexterity, yeah.
Rolls an 11 and it's a DC 18.
Yeah.
It fails magic. That save. Has it got magic resistance? One moment. It hasn't. Hit me.
I love on it. 50 points of damage.
Yeah. Wow.
Hit me or I'll hit you back.
Nice. And as I head back up, we can keep doing this all day.
Yeah, give me an insight check.
22.
You think that you've almost made up its mind, if you see what I mean. It looks like it was starting to do something.
Its master's fled.
Considering a course of action, and you may have made up its mind. Uncle Buggy on 4.
Okay, well, I'm running up to it, and I'll say, is it a free action to say, give me the feather?
Yes.
I guess I'll do it as an intimidation because I'm running it with my axe out. I'm not really going to persuade him running it in with my axe in a rage.
Is there an intimidation skill?
Yeah.
There is.
Okay. Let me just check. 13. What's it resisted by?
It's probably an opposed check, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm having a look. We need to do hostile. Or using the edge of a broken bottle to convince a sneering vizier to reconsider a decision. That is a great little example line. Nice bit of rules text.
Ernie can see I'm about to bash him if he doesn't.
Yes, it's good, but there's something going on that you're not necessarily... Well, I mean, I think I've sent up a couple of flares about this, but there's something going on that's also in the calculation. I'm afraid I don't think that's enough.
Okay, I'll bash him then.
Certain?
Well, yeah.
You might make it more difficult for the rest of us. Do what you can do.
It's probably a case of his master's fled, so he's now feeling he's got a bit of freedom and doesn't have to hang on to the feather.
Mm.
And that if we keep attacking him, he'll actually turn against us.
Well, maybe free action to say, how much do you want for the feather?
That's a good question.
We'll give you the belt for the feather.
Brilliant. Oh, dear. Give me a persuasion check.
I'm really not good at these.
No, okay. The way that you pitch it, he doesn't. He doesn't snatch the bait. He doesn't.
Yeah. What the money?
He's like, I'm sorry.
Give him the axe.
Do you want to hit him?
I'm going to bash him. Yeah, you're raging anyhow.
The time of negotiation is over. All right, I'm bashing him as a reckless action. First attack is 20.
Yes, that's a hit.
I'll see if it's a critical. It's not. So I do 20 points of damage. The next attack is a 29. I'll see if it's a critical.
Also a hit. Yeah.
It's not. 19 points of damage.
Anything else from Buggy?
No.
On 4, it's it. It waves its hand in the air in a motion eerily reminiscent of the actions of Dal Quethos just before. He mutters an incantation and it fades
so close
from view.
No attack opportunity.
No, so it's close. Just gone. There's a point where you're like, is it still here? Is it disappearing into the mist? And then there's a point where it's
so annoying. That's so close. A few dice rolls in our favour. Going our way.
And the feather is gone with it.
So you've got to fight these fuckers again.
Anyway, I've got to go now.
Oh, you can't keep playing.
Can somebody run my character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think we need a probe.
Pass your character sheet across the table. We'll see when you get back. So you've got no Ifrit, you've got no Dahl, and you've got no Lucas. You didn't seem much of a mood to discuss what he was up to.
I saw him putting on his red boots.
All eight of them. Yeah. I think I should give a couple of you an opportunity to have another Arcana check. Yes?
Yes.
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 A quick question.
Yeah.
If I may.
Yeah.
Since I know the spell Plane Shift, is that what they've done? It's on my spell list, and I can choose to memorize it.
Since you've guessed it. It's different, of course, because every caster has got a different ritual, potentially different languages, different whatever, magical hand swoopinesses. But yes, that's what you think has happened. So you think that the Ifrit and Dahl have plane shifted.
But we don't know where.
Well, not on the ethereal. That much you do know.
Are you able to go to, say, the astral plane if you cast that spell?
Yeah, but I have to have it memorized. I don't have it memorized.
I mean, they could be anywhere.
Yeah.
What do you know about the spell? How long does it last and how far can they travel?
What you know, Sessions, is that they can travel to anywhere on any plane that you can very specifically target teleportation circles, or you can target a place that you know.
Yeah.
Even if you could plane shift, you would be picking, I don't know how many planes there are, but lots.
Have you got locate object, anybody?
I think that's quite a short range.
Oh.
And the duration is instantaneous. It's basically the same as teleport.
Yeah,
so
you just move to a different plane with up to eight of your mates.
If I might suggest, we don't know where those two are, Ifrit and what's his name, but the others who didn't do that, possibly because they couldn't do that.
Dahl Quethos.
Dahl Quethos.
Fuck it.
The demons
flew south, didn't they?
Flew south. Now, on the basis that they might want to be rejoining at some point.
Yeah.
Why don't we follow those? In the same way that when we ran through the fog to avoid Prothanos, we went then to rejoin up and meet up again. Maybe that's their plan. They're just going about it in a slightly different way.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Who hasn't plane shifted?
The tiefling raven and the...
Demon
devil.
Devil guy, yeah.
Well,
yes.
Should we go invisible and follow him?
Well, yeah, easier said than done.
Why don't we just follow them if we can?
I can basically turn everyone invisible, I think.
Does it matter that we're invisible?
The raven can see invisible.
Yeah, does it really matter? The thing is that they are low on hit points, possibly low on spells.
Yeah, but if they see us coming, they'll basically be able to hide. They might be able to lose us.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if it's all it takes is a round, but we need to get on it.
Well, let's kill the demon at least.
Let's just get to them. Yeah, let's get to them. Maybe even if we can get them and follow them to the point where they meet up again, because what we really want is the Ifrit.
So if I'm right,
we're at
the end of a ravine.
Yeah, you're at the end of a
channel.
You're at the tip, the narrowest point of a long veil that has run into the mountains the foothills.
How long would it take them to fly down it, let's say?
Let's have a look at the other map.
Right, who can fly?
Me.
Where's that brilliant map?
Sessions can fly.
They're all so very
Buggy can't. I can't.
There it is.
I mean, how far is the Ifrit? I mean, the demon. Can't we just fire stuff at him from range?
The valley, the veil, is 4 hexes. So the valley is 16 miles.
Okay.
But, I mean, they could go straight up.
Mm.
I don't think that that's kind of relevant in the sense that they're flying. They've shot off the bottom of the map. They've just had their turn.
Can we see them?
But I haven't moved him yet. The demon I'm talking about. You can't see the ravens.
Yeah.
The demon, devil, whatever it is, you can see. It was 140 feet south from you, and it's just had its turn. It's now 240 feet south of you.
Right.
As things stand, it moves 120 feet a turn. In terms of the map, we've run out of map to put them on, but they're about 100 feet, 120 feet off the map to the south.
Okay.
Don't say they, it.
Going to cast a...
Dan, I think the priority is to get moving. The invisibility can come as we're moving, I suppose.
Invisibility is concentration.
Yeah,
fly is also concentration.
Ah. Well, fly is more important than invisibility, I would say. Also, yeah. Graham, how fast can you fly?
Graham, is it 50 or move?
50,
or
100? No, it's 50.
Oh, sorry, so you can fly 100
a turn.
So it looks like...
So you are slightly slower than the...
If you were to have a haste, would it...
Trident wielding.
Would it speed you, your fly speed up?
Yes, for completely absurd reasons it would. So makes absolutely no sense, but yes.
So I could... Yeah. I've got a haste running on me, but I could kill one haste and give another haste, speeding you up.
You can hear the enthusiasm for this solo pursuit plan from Graham, yeah. Can't you?
Well, I'm going to cast Fly, radiating from him.
No, bringing me and Buggy with.
I'm going to cast Fly on myself.
Room for one person on the broom.
One person in a bag of holding.
Yes.
One person and a person in a bag of holding.
Yeah.
There you go. Buggy's in the bag of holding. I'm on the broom with...
But how heavy are you?
We'll get into all of this. Let's go round the sequence.
Okay.
Everybody gets to do something. At the end of that round of actions, we'll be back where we are now, which is on Trident Boy's turn, and we move him again. And he will react to what you do. So what do you want to do? One turn each.
How heavy is Scaly?
250.
And can you figure out how much you can carry?
How much I can carry?
Oh, God.
One can
carry.
Anybody.
I can't remember.
Oh. Strength.
I'll look it up.
Your carrying capacity is your strength score multiplied by 15. So I can carry 300 and something.
There we go.
How far away is he?
He's 260 feet away from the edge of the cliff.
So I'm saying, Scaly, do your haste and come over here.
Haste on...
On sessions. Do your haste, come over here, and then I cast a fly spell on myself. And when Scaly comes over, we fly south. So I get one
Got
move,
it.
I would assume.
So Scaly, you're casting haste. What's the range of haste? It's just a question of basically what you managed to achieve between you in a turn.
Yeah, haste is a 30-foot radius.
Range.
Range, 30-foot range, sorry.
So either Sessions has got to move to you, or you've got to move to Sessions to cast a haste on Sessions, because you're about 70 feet, something like that, away from each other.
Yeah, I want Sessions to come to me.
I want to be helpful and encouraging, but we can't break people's turns up into component parts that then are interrupted by other people's turns.
What's your speed, Scaly?
Sessions goes first. At the moment, my speed is...
Yeah.
Is.
Oh, don't worry about that. I'm not going to enforce the sequence. That's fine. It's just you've got one turn each. I don't mind if which order you want to take those actions in. But unless you take readied actions, you can't do clever things by interrupting other people's actions.
Yeah, so Sessions goes first.
The other thing to consider, Dan, is with my strength at the moment, I can carry over 400.
But you're not the one... Oh.
If you put a fly on me, I could carry you and probably Buggy.
That's a good idea.
And I'm already hasted.
All right. Oh, and you're already hasted. Oh,
I'm already hasted.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't need to do a haste on Sessions.
Well, you kind of do. You can only haste one of you, though.
Yeah, it can be either me or Sessions. I don't think Sessions really wants to be hasted. He's quite happy to chuck along behind, I should imagine.
But Sessions will fall behind if he's not hasted.
Mm.
My speed is 60 when I fly.
Okay. But can you carry both me and...
My strength is 21.
Okay. So how heavy is Buggy?
Oh, no idea.
He's not going to be very much. Why do you ask?
Well, because you can carry 315 pounds.
40 pounds, yeah. According to this.
Oh, then that's fine. You can carry us both.
I'm 3 foot tall.
Possibly not, because I've got equipment.
Okay. In which case, I fly either unhasted or... And Sessions flies.
I'll pick up Buggy. Yeah. And then fly south.
I think okay. If you fly unhasted, Scaly.
Yeah.
Sessions can fly hasted. Sessions and Buggy will
get there first.
Can you carry Buggy and Parker?
It depends how much Parker weighs. I mean, I get if I have more than a certain weight, which I need to. Then I only fly at 30. If I can stick him in the bag of holding.
I got a portable hole. It's 10 foot deep. I can fit everybody in it. As long as you don't have a bag of holding.
I'll carry the bag of holding. You carry everybody in your portable hole.
I have a bag of holding.
A 10-foot hole is going to have quite a lot of air in it. It's huge.
But just don't get in it with a bag of holding, because it does
something nasty.
Come on,
within reason, people.
Okay, Graham.
You're making a snap decision about how best to pursue these guys who are in flight.
Graham, you grab Buggy.
Yeah, we're going off after them, Mike.
I just want to know basically how far you move, how close you get.
I will grab Parker and Burple, and Burple will do a fly spell on me.
Yeah, I'll move over to Scaly. I will do a fly spell.
And Parker will run up to Scaly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first thing
Burple
that happens.
Burple moves up to Scaly.
Yes.
Bugraft should move south, and I can swoop in and pick him up.
We almost got there then.
Can you carry both us, both me and Parker?
I can carry up to 435.
I'm guessing no in that case.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unless Parker goes in the portable hole.
Sure, but then Buggy needs to...
Yep. All right. Well, Buggy...
I'll run up to Sessions
Yeah, so Bugmoth moves.
I run after sessions and open up the portable hole. And I say, jump in, anybody. Just give me your bag of holding before you jump in.
Well, we don't need to, do we? We can just hang off the side of the skating.
Okay,
why
they hang off.
Complicating.
It's 50 feet to Bugraft and then 50 feet south, mate.
Who's got Parker's character sheet?
Graham does.
I'm sure he slid it across
right,
the table.
Here's what we're doing. I've got it. I've got it.
Need
I've
to know
got
how much
it.
He weighs.
I've got it. Bugraft's coming with Scaly.
I've got it.
Bugraft is coming with Scaly, right? So Bugraft, you move to there.
You move up to Scaly.
Parker moves over towards Sessions because he's got super ridiculous speed. Sessions scoobles down here. Parker grabs onto him as he goes past.
Yeah, and I end up 50 foot south.
And you end up 50 foot south, yeah. And then I do a fly spell on Scaly, grab onto the side of Scaly. Bugraft runs up, grabs on Scaly, and Scaly moves. And as he goes within 30 feet of Sessions, he does a haste spell on Sessions and has a move south.
Sounds like a plan to me. Oh, but we've got to back up.
Is fly a concentration spell?
Fly is a concentration spell.
But Burple casts it.
Okay.
So now Scaly can fly, carrying Burple and Buggy.
With a speed of 60 feet.
Right.
So we can go 120 feet.
Yeah.
With Burple and Bugraft hanging on to Scaly. Meanwhile, Parker and Sessions are hasted, giving Sessions an extra move.
I understand.
Action. We're into kind of chase rules, aren't we, really?
Well, I really don't want to get into chase rules. So you are 120 plus. This is award-winning radio. You're 155 feet behind Trident Boy, Scaly,
yep.
As you reach the end of your move. And you're carrying,
Buggy.
I presume with no penalty to your movement,
no, as far as I'm aware.
Burple and Buggy. And Sessions is a little bit south of the total ledge with Parker dangling off.
I should be 50 foot south of the
magic stick
cliff.
Trident Boy moves another 120 feet. He's now 275 foot south of you. We don't need to worry about climbing and descending because you're going to follow. So if Trident Boy's movement is somehow compromised by the fact that he climbs, well, to follow him, you're going to do the same. Agreed?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How far can Scaly move in a single turn?
Currently, he moves 120 foot.
So it's 275 foot south of you, and then you've got the same movement speed.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be 275 feet away from you unless something else happens.
Yeah.
Agreed?
The thing that might change things is
Sessions, who can move 150.
Correct.
Who catches up 30 feet per turn. Agreed?
Yeah.
But Sessions...
Sorry, do we move to within... We move to 140 feet away from it or something? 155 feet.
Behind. Before it moved.
Then it moved.
Just so you're 275 feet behind.
Yeah.
So it is 200... sorry. Oh, God. Now I'm getting horribly lost. 240. 275. This is award-winning radio.
Yes.
It's 335 feet ahead of Sessions. So it takes 10 turns for Sessions to eat up the difference. Just over. Agreed?
Yeah.
It's 11 turns. But Sessions doesn't have to catch up. Sessions may have some spell or something. But then he'll have to forfeit
50
one
feet of
his...
movement.
Yes. Let's just assume that over the course of the next minute or so, a chase takes place. The demon is actually climbing rather than following the contours of the veil. And I presume you are climbing with it.
I guess so.
Do you climb at half speed?
Yeah, but so does Sessions. If you decide that you're happy to go horizontally while it goes vertically, then you can catch up with the point where it's vertically climbing, obviously earlier, because you're going to be... Yeah?
I can get to within 100 feet of it. Fireball it. 155 feet at the end of our go.
Yes, and then it
climbs
gets
at half
its
speed.
Turn. It's not doing that immediately.
Okay.
Are we going to play out a straight chase, in which case I can talk to you about what happens over the course of the next minute or so, or are you going to make decisions 6 seconds by 6 seconds, which is perfectly fine, we can do that. In which case, you all get a turn. What do you want to do? I presume, move to get closer.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it moves to get further away.
It's
so,
flying with wings, right?
Yeah.
And when we have finished our go, we get to within 120 feet of it.
It's 275 feet from you.
Wait a second. It was 275 feet away from Sessions.
From Scaly, you know,
we've made a mistake, guys. What we should do is pass one another and swap.
Burple and Parker over.
So we can get to within 155 feet of it.
Yes.
But if it starts climbing, it's climbing at half speed.
It won't start climbing if it feels that you're gaining on it.
If it starts climbing, it's climbing at half speed. In which case, if we keep going straight, we can get within 150 feet of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something like that. And cast a fireball.
Yeah, but it's immune to fire, is it? Or is
well, that's another question. Yeah. But you'll have to work that one out yourself. Mm. We know how long it takes Sessions to catch up to it. Sessions doesn't need to get all the way there if he's got something he wants to do when he gets within long range spell distance or whatever. But what this thing is going to do, if it's just a straight chase, is ascend.
Yeah.
If you decide that you deliberately don't want to ascend in order to cut the distance between you, I can't get into Pythagoras or whatever in terms of angles, fine, you just say that that's what you're doing. And we'll we'll just kind of guesstimate.
All right, so your point, Graham, I agree. We should swap
Buggy and Parker.
You're going to do a sort of leap from one moving train to another kind of thing.
Yes.
I would say that you're probably going to have to make a roll of some kind to do it successfully, unless you sacrifice a move action.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Why do we... I'm just being stupid. Why do we want to swap?
Because I have...
Well, because if I move three times in a round... Someone else on my broom can cast spells. Yeah. Parker can't do that, so he's only useful when we get next to it.
Yeah, gotcha.
Whereas if I want to cast a spell, then I lose 50 foot of movement, which I can do because I'll make it up. It only gets 20 foot ahead of me, and I get to cast a spell.
If I can get to within 90 feet of it, I can cast confusion on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always worried about casting spells when Mike rolls a blue dice of saves.
Oh, I mean,
yeah. But it's a game of stamina, this one, because my fly spell will run out. And in fact, confusion... Oh, no, I can't cast confusion because it's also concentration.
Yeah, concentration.
Ah, right. Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I've got, basically, is fireball.
Okay. Well,
although I do have wall of force, but that's also concentration.
I reckon let's do it without a dice roll. Sessions is moving faster anyway. Moves up next to Scaly. We take a moment to adjust. We lose an action, I think it was. Or was it a round? Or a turn? Whichever way you want to put it. Mike?
It's an action. I think you can't. Okay. I think Parker can jump and grab onto Scaly's outstretched claw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say he can do that pretty much as a formality.
Yeah.
We might make him make a roll. The other way round is more difficult. Burple, jumping.
Why don't we just lose one 50-foot movement and everyone moves safely across the broom?
Yeah, that's it.
You can just do a stationary exchange of passengers.
Let's do that.
Well, it gets obviously a little bit further ahead of you, but again, we'll play that out.
That's fine.
It gets...
We lose 50 foot and we regain it in two rounds.
Yeah, precisely. And over the course of the next X number of rounds, you gain on it. If it's climbing and you're going laterally, the distance is viewed from
above. We're going straight after it. So
we don't need to worry about that because we're gaining every round, aren't we?
Yeah.
So at what point
are
you going to do something?
30 foot round.
Let's roll forwards. The others are following along behind in the... You know, it's like wacky races.
Yeah.
in the wherever it is. And you
catch the pigeon, actually.
It is. Catch the pigeon. And you are near enough to start doing stuff. It's not interested in having a fight with you. What is it that you want to do?
Shall I try a fireball?
Turtle?
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, let's try a fireball.
Okay.
I could fire something at it.
You're too far away.
Okay. A fireball.
Maybe you could, actually.
I'm too far.
You'd need two hands somehow.
Well, the fireball does nothing.
Okay.
I don't even need to save.
What's the range of the fireball?
150 foot.
150 foot.
So you're five turns from catching it up.
Fire does nothing.
Next turn, you can do something else.
Well,
Purple's
I want
not sacrificing
so the
any
next,
movement.
The next thing to try is when we get within 90 feet of it.
Okay, let's roll forward to then. Mm. Yeah.
Except that's concentration.
And you're using concentration to keep the fly spell up, are you?
to keep the other
Since we keep catching up with it, Mike,
yes.
We're going to get to a point where we move within like 120 feet of it.
You are within 120 feet. You've just cast a fireball.
All right, we're at 90 feet or something.
Fireball is 150 foot range.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, at 90 feet, Mike, I'm going to call lightning on it.
Right.
Nice.
A new
and
call lightning
no...
or the old call lightning?
It's lasts for 10 minutes.
So he gets to make a saving throw, right?
Blue dice.
Cool.
Blue dice of saves.
And the difficultyness of the save, the DC of the saving difficultyness. I think we should just swap that in as our official term.
Yeah.
Must be 18.
DC 18. It rolls a 10. That's not very much.
Plus 8.
Oh dear. It's got a dexterity save of nowhere near enough, so it takes...
It's got magic resistance.
It's got magic resistance. Oh. I have to roll again.
Okay. Well, it's 39 saved to half.
Okay, and it rolls a 19 with its second go, so it takes 19?
Yeah.
Give me a perception check, Purple and Sessions.
15.
22 for Sessions.
Okay, it was pretty wounded when you started chasing it. Well, it's more wounded now. It's looking pretty frazzled.
Toasted.
Probably why it's running away.
Yeah.
It has no answer to you. It's not going to sacrifice movement to throw bolts of fire at you or anything like that. It just keeps going.
Free action to shout.
Okay.
So from 90, it moves 120 ahead of us, yeah?
But then you move 150.
I move 100.
Okay, yeah.
And I call lightning on it again.
I'm shouting.
First roll.
Capture it.
Is an 18, it saves.
Right.
How much? Half damage?
I'm yelling at these guys. If we don't capture it, we may not find out whether the others are going to.
Save top. So 10.
10. It's that. It's really. It's almost. I mean, there's no mechanical way of reflecting this, but it's, you know, wobbly.
Surrender or
die. Surrender. We can do this all day.
Surrender or die.
Does it speak English? Well, not English. You know.
Does
it speak English? You shout something in English. None of you have any idea what it's talking about. I'm going to assume that it speaks common. It shouts, "Send me back to my home, little dwarf. You'll only be doing me a favour."
Okay. You'll be dead.
Yeah, maybe he's not in servitude to the other guy. He might be happier. Capture it.
I mean, killing it is better than letting it go.
Yeah.
You can't capture it.
Threatening it with a life here rather than dying and going back home.
What do you want to do? Another turn rolls around. What do you want to do?
Shout at it. Where are you meeting up?
It doesn't.
What's the plan?
It doesn't answer.
I think let's just take out the gun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Save again, Mike.
Are you going to try and zap it again?
Yeah, I'm going to keep going.
I mean, even if it saves, it's dead, if you see what I mean.
Oh, okay. Well, fine.
It's got 4 hit points.
Let me roll the damage.
So your next
What level spell is that?
It was cast at 7th level, which is why I'm doing so much damage.
So it's just all the same spell.
It's cool lightning. It lasts for 10 minutes. I can keep calling down bolts of lightning.
Lightning bolts. Okay. Yeah. Well, you do. And you fry it. Well, yeah, you fry it. It either tail spins into the ground, or you can see its skeleton through its body. And it's like Warner Brothers. And then from the tip of its claws to the top of its horns, it just turns to ash and just falls down.
Is it Wile E. Coyote? It just plummets to the ground as a sort of plume of dust.
Whatever it might be, you've killed it.
Okay.
And you're flying high in the great blueness above the Isle of Telargos. The sky is a vault of perfection.
See anything of note?
Well, should we regroup then?
You can't see anybody. You can see the great mountain ranges behind you now. With the area which the Thorn Vale tracks into directly behind you, to your northeast, you've got the mega peaks of that section of the mountain range that you've not really interacted with, and then you've got the forest to your south, and then that's it.
Was the feather the last thing we needed to do?
Yes.
And is there only one feather?
Oh. Yeah, that's the other thing.
We don't know it's unique, do we? It's just a feather of a rock, is it?
That's why, Mike. We haven't got Lucas, who wrote it down, but...
Well...
What was the thing again, Mike?
It says, "Harvest of the Living Feather of the Rock King." That's what I wrote down.
Which implies it's one special thing.
Don't get it. Harvest of the Living...
Well, you could...
Rocks can have loads of feathers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not more than one living feather.
Sounds like it. But we never established whether we have to just... We could go back to all these druids and say, "We've done this, you know that. We've done this. Here's the belt. We're off to collect the feather." Wouldn't that mean they can't achieve the task?
Yeah.
We've got to find the druids, though. They found us the first time.
I would suggest they're where we came in, but maybe not.
Should we go back there?
Yeah, right.
Well, we could just say the other half of our team have got the feather, and here are the other items, so...
I mean, if they want it, they're going to have to come to us anyhow, aren't they? We don't have to find them.
So what are you doing? You're flying... back to the portal where you came through.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you don't have to wait for long before stepping out of a lone pine on the plain next to you is Telanthros, Can't you never get Talanthros' voice right? Talanthros. Ah! Says Talanthros.
Hey!
You have returned.
Well met.
You have completed our four trials.
Yes. All four trials are complete.
Actually, don't know.
I'm going to have to do the voices of all of them.
Yes, you are.
Hold up. Okay. Another one steps out from the tree, says,
you have silenced the Doom Shroud's mournful song.
Can you hear it?
It stands there for a bit.
Yes.
Okay. Another one steps out and says, you have caused the death of the Thornvale Nightmare.
Yes, here is his head. Yep, I'll take it out of the portable hole.
Well, I never. I've never seen something so huge. And then Tenanthros says, you have claimed the golden belt of Grathanas.
Yes, Parkus.
You mean this belt?
Such wonder, such beauty, such glisteniness. Pass it to me.
Yeah, pass it.
Okay.
And the last one, Siren Lay, steps out of a tree and says,
and you have...
the voice.
And you have gathered for me the living feather of the Rock King.
Yes, we do. Companions are a little
just
delayed.
Waiting for it.
Pass me the feather.
Yes, we will. Just if we wait here a little while,
there's
we'll be able
a moment,
to pass it
for you. An awkward moment where Siren Lay has got its hands, as it were, outstretched towards you.
Oh, I pass him a cigar.
And the others are all standing there looking
happy.
Pass
him a cigar. And light it for him.
This is not the item that you were charged to acquire.
No, we get that. Have a cigar while we wait.
It turns to the others and says, the four trials are not complete. We are being deceived.
They are complete.
The four trials are complete.
They are complete. The feather is no longer with the rock.
In which case, pass me the living feather of the Rock King.
Well, I don't have it on me.
This is not satisfactory. Brothers, we must away. And they all whing and disappear with the belt.
What?
What are you going to do now? Well, we'll find out when we rejoin your adventures on to Largos when we pick things up next week.
That might have been a mistake giving him the belt, but you know, it's dead.
The Billowing Hilltop Podcast is a Billowing Hilltop production. Dungeons & Dragons is a trademark of Wizards of the Coast. The Library of Last Resort and Age of Worms are copyright Paizo. The Library of Last Resort was written by Nicholas Logue. Music is from Kevin MacLeod and Incompetech.com and is used with thanks under the Creative Commons license. Additional music and sound effects come from the wonderful Sirenscape. All other original material is copyright Billowing Hilltop. Role-playing games are all about getting people together and we use Roll20 as our tabletop, the perfect place to host your game, and Discord to host our chat. Thanks for listening. Thank you.